Today's daf is Samach Vav. We're going to start at Samach Hem. We're just going to finish where we ended off yesterday, where I got confused. We're going to describe the case where we said it's really Tzadachad B'Ribit, where Shnehem Asurim. And then we said that must be not like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Tzadachad B'Ribit is Mutar, and that means that there's a chance that it might be Ribit, there's a chance it might not be Ribit. So we said that the case is, Pamim Shnehem Asurim is when he says, L'chim Maitit K'nei Me'achshav, when you bring it, it will be sold to you at the time. So he gives him 50 for, let's say, a field that was worth 200, and he doesn't give him the rest. So if the lokeach ends up paying the whole thing, okay, he pays the whole thing. So then what will happen? In the case where the mocher eats the peirot, it will look like ribit. Yeah, because if the mocher eats the peirot, he's like the malveh, and then he will end up eating peirot, getting back all his money, returning the field, and it will be basically a loan. And then he'll have eaten ribit. If the lokeach eats peirot, it's no problem, because he says kana me'achshav. If the lokeach doesn't pay, okay, he basically doesn't end up paying the rest, then what will happen? The 50 that he paid is going to revert back to the lokeach, which turns the lokeach into, right, this is where I got confused yesterday, the lokeach in this case is the malveh, because he basically ended up loaning the guy 50 and then getting back the 50. So if the lokeach were to eat peirot, that's the case where it's going to look like ribit. Because in the end, it's going to go back to the mocher. So if the mocher eats peirot, it's totally fine. It was always the mocher's, and it belonged to him in the first place, because it was never a sale. But if the lokeach eats, it's going to be ribit. So there we have four possibilities of what could happen. Two would be ribit, and two wouldn't. And that resolves the confusion from yesterday. Okay. Now, moving on to another case that's very similar. Mishken lo bayit, mishken lo sadeh. If he gives him as collateral a house or a field, va'amar lo, l'chisha tirtzeh l'mochram, right, this is where we ended, right? I'm not...
Yeah.
Okay. L'kisha, right, because there were two cases where they said it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, this is it. L'kisha tirtzeh l'mochram, lo timkerem ela li b'damim halalu. If, when he gives him the property, okay, so the love gives property to the malve as collateral, and then the malve says to him, listen, I'm lending you money, and you're giving me this field as collateral, but I want you to know this, that when you want to sell this field, you're not allowed to sell it to anyone except for me. Okay? And, right, bidamim halalu, at a discounted rate. In other words, basically, if you default on the loan and the property was worth more than the loan, let's say the property was worth 200 and the loan was 100. So he says, I'll give you an extra 20 and I want this to be mine. So basically he's saying, I'm going to buy this 200 property for 120. Asur. Okay? That's clearly forbidden, because then it's, again, he's getting hana'ah from this loan. Bishovyehen mutar. But if he says to him, I want you to commit to me that you'll sell me this land for its actual price, then it's okay. Because it's a stipulated condition. The malva can stipulate what he wants as long as he's not getting anything extra. This isn't a monetary benefit. It's a benefit that he gets to be the one who has first dibs on the property, but he's actually going to pay the full price, and therefore there's no ribit. Mantana bidamim halalu asur. Who's the one who says that if he gets some benefit from it, right? If he says, I'm going to give you this loan under the condition that if you sell this property, if you decide to sell it over time because you have no money, you're going to sell it to me for this low price. Why? That's asur. Who is that according to? Again, we're going to say, I'm a Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua de lo ki Rabbi Yehuda di ki Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar tzadach ha'b'ribit mutar. We don't know that the lova is going to actually sell his land. So therefore, they can come up with an agreement at the time of the loan, that who knows what will be the outcome. Even if the outcome ends up that the malva gets some financial benefit, that's not considered ribit. Okay, he thinks that that's mutar, but again, those who disagree with him, which is the basic opinion, it's asur. Machar lo bayit, machar lo sadeh. Okay, somebody now, okay, we keep flipping between sales and loans. Now somebody sells someone a house or a field. Va'amar lo, l'chishi yuli ma'ot hachzirem li. Asur. If he says, I'm giving you this property, but I'm selling this to you, okay, you go into an agreement with someone, you go to buy the house, they clearly need the money, they say, listen, I'm selling you this house now, but when I get money and I can afford to buy back my house, I want to buy it back. And you have to commit to me that you'll sell it back to me. That is forbidden. Why? It's going to be rebeat because all the property that the person, the stuff that the produce that the person is eating all that while becomes, then it turns in, it was a sale, but it's a sale that becomes a loan. Well, it says a house or a loan. I assume the house means the benefit you get from the house. Sorry, a house or a field. Okay? The benefit that you get from the house or whatever it might be, all of that will be considered rebate because in the end it was just a loan and anything you used from it will, you know, will be rebate. But if the loves says, okay, or sorry, the guy buying the property, sorry, the guy selling the property says, L'cheshiyu l'cha ma'ot achzireim l'cha. I'm happy to buy this house right now, but if you want... It's the purchaser says, if you want, I'll sell it back to you. If you get the money, then that's mutar. Okay, and why is that mutar? Because he's saying it of his own volition. It's not part of the agreement. No one can take him to court for this. Okay, in other words, if he decides in the end not to do it, no one's going to say, oh, you have to, you committed. This isn't a real commitment. He's just kind of saying it, and therefore it's allowed. Mantana, I'm Rav Huda Brit Rav Yeshua. Again, delo ki Rav Yehuda. Di'i Rav Yehuda, ha'amar tzadachad b'ribit mutar. Right? Even the first case would be okay, because who's to say that he's going to ever get the money? So again, it's something that goes into different possibilities. So now they say, maishna reishu, maishna seifa. What's the difference? Okay, so we kind of explained it, but we'll now explain it in the Gemara. What's the difference between whether the seller says, I want to buy my lamb back when I get the money, versus when the purchaser says, I will let you have it. So what do they answer? Seifa de amar le midate, right? The seifa is when he says it, or you can read these words also, reisha de lo amar le midate. Okay, there's a difference of nuscha, whether those words actually appear here. But in the reisha, he said it of his own, de lo amar le midate, right? He didn't say it. The purchaser didn't necessarily say it, right? He didn't say it. But if he says it of his own volition, then it's allowed. This is going to lead us, by the way, into all sorts of commitments that people make and how seriously we view them. Today we're going to get into the very famous sugya that we've seen a few times, and we'll see more of a smachta, right, where you basically commit to something that you were never really committing to. So when we have a commitment or we say something, sometimes we say, whatever you said, you committed. And sometimes we say, well, clearly, the guy didn't really mean that, and therefore, we don't even take this as a commitment. Okay, so we're going to see different cases of that today. So somebody sells land to his friend, shelo ba'achrayut, without a guarantee, meaning that the property was leaned, and if a bal chov comes, let's say I owe money to someone, and in the meantime, I sell my property. So if I sold my property to someone else, then the person who I owe money to can go demand my land if I don't pay it from the third party that I sold the property to. So now you can sell your land with achrayut, or you can sell it without achrayut, right? You can sell it saying, I'm selling you this lien property, and in the event that the guy I owe money to takes it from you, I'll give you back your money. So in this case, he sold it shelo b'achrayut, okay? He didn't commit that if they will give you the money back. So now, chazir to have a ka'atzi. If he sees that the guy he sold the property to regrets the fact that he bought the property without achrayut, right? He's starting to get a little bit upset about it. So amalei, the seller says to the buyer, amai atzivat, what are you upset about? Itarfu laminach, magvina le shufur shivcha upere. Don't worry about it. Don't be so upset. If the bachov takes it from you, I'll give you the best, you know, I'll give you the best price, I'll give you the shevach, right? Whatever investment you put into it, I'll pay you back, and I'll give you the payroad, okay? All the produce that you that you're losing out on. So Amar Amemar, so the question is, does this stand? Does this hold? Amar Amemar, pitume mile ba'almahu. This is just, right, Rashi says, divrei tanchumim ba'alma lefatem et libo. He's just trying to make the guy feel better. He doesn't really mean it. There's no legal, he doesn't mean this in a legal sense, right? If he meant it in a legal sense, he would have put achrayut into the shtar. In this case, he didn't put achrayut in. After the deal was already done, he saw the guy was upset, he just said it. Doesn't mean anything. Amar le Rav Ashi la meimar, tam amai, kevan de lokeach bailat nuye, V'hacha mocher kamatne amra pitume mile ba'almahu. So he says now, what's the reason you're saying this? It sounds like you're saying this because the purchaser, one second, lokach bai la tnui, he should obey the tnai. And here, the mocher made the tnai, right? The lokach should have made sure that this was a, if the purchaser had said, right, let me just think for a minute. This means if the purchaser had said, one second, right, the purchaser should have stipulated. What Rav Ashi says to Amar, what's the reason that you said this? It must be that what? That if the purchaser had put this as a tnai in the deal from the beginning, that it would have been part of it. But now the mocher is just saying this, and we just say, the mocher is just saying this is pitumei mila ba'alma. Ela matnita, but this is going to be difficult with our Mishnah. Dekatane, l'cheshiyu lecha ma'ot, achzir lecha. It's actually not the Mishnah, right? It's the Braita. Right, it's the Braita. Right, which Braita is this? This was the Braita. Right, this was the Braita about the Pamim Shishnehem, right? No.
Isn't it what we just read? That when you have...
Yeah. Which Braita? Where?
The last one, when you have money to buy the house back.
Who says it? When I have money...
Machar lo bayit. That's what it is. Thank you. Machar lo bayit, machar lo sadem. And he said, shiyu lecha ma'ot hachzirem li asur. Right? So now... But if you say l'chishiyu lecha ma'ot achzir lecha, if the seller says it, right, then it's okay. So k'shiyu lecha ma'ot achzir lecha mutar. D'mocher hu d'bay lat nuye. Right? So what do we say? Mocher lo adne v'lokeach kamane v'amrina maishna resho maishna seifa. Right? And v'amarava seifa d'amar lemidate. Tama d'amar lemidate. Ha lo amar lemidate. Lo amrinan pitume mila ba'almanhu. So what do we say here? If he says it of his own volition, then it's okay, then it works. And here we say, if he says it of his own volition, the mocher comes and says it, it's just pichumei milaba almahu, it doesn't mean anything. So, amarle, na'aseh kemanda amarle, midate itmar. One second, I don't feel like I'm explaining this correctly. Give me 1 minute. Sorry. In that case, what did we say? Since he says it midate, right? One second. Sefer damar le midate from his ratzon chavshim.
He specifically has to say midate in order to work.
Where there's no, if he says it midate, then what do we say?
No.
There's no chiyuv, right? And therefore, it's okay because it doesn't have any legal relevance. But what does it sound like? Lo amar le midate, right? He has to be mekayem et varav. He has to do what he says. And we don't say that it was just, but why would this be, 1 second? According to this, since the lokach made the deal, and not the... 1 second, I'm missing something basic. Okay. Give me 1 minute. Okay, so it means here that Maishna Reshu, Maishna Sefa, they're saying, what's the difference there? Because he said the words midate. He said, I'm doing it of my own volition. And the reason why it would work is because he says midate. But if he doesn't say, I'm going to do it of my own volition, then we don't say it's pitumei mila ba'alma and it's actually real. So then, therefore, in this case, where he didn't say I was doing it midate, it must be mean that it's serious, that it works. So amarle na'aseh kimanda amarle midate itmar. It's as if he said the words midate. This kind of a case is as if he said, I'm doing this because I'm a nice guy, but not
doesn't
because...
Does it make a difference if it's the buyer or the seller? Because in each case it was different.
Right, in each case it was different. That's what got me a little confused. But yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of who's the one... It depends always who's on what side. Okay, which side of the, you know, if you're doing a tovah to who. Okay, Hahush Chib Mera, the Katav Lagita Litabitu. Here's an interesting case. A guy who's on his deathbed writes a get for his wife. Angid Va'atnach. Okay, now what's the issue? He wrote a get figuring, in the event that I die, I don't want her, we've seen this before, I don't want her to have to do chalitza, right? If I have no kids, I don't want her to, sorry, I don't want her to have to do yibum or chalitza, right? So he wants to prevent her from, let's say, marrying his brother. So he sends her a get. But then, Angi ve'enach, he says, oh, I can't believe I did this, because it's obviously I intended the get only to be used in the event that I die, but what if my wife decides to use it anyway and walk out the door and basically leave me? So Amra Le, she says to him, Amai kamit nachat, the same case as last time, right? What are you so upset about? If you stay alive, didachana, I'm yours, I belong to you, no worries. Amra Zvid, pitume mila ba'almahu, the words she said are basically meaningless, and she can go ahead and get divorced based on this get. In other words, if she accepts the get and says, you know, oh, you're not alive, you're still alive, too bad, I don't really want to be married to you. It's a good get, right? A very interesting case. So now what's going to be the obvious question? Amalei Rav Acha midifti the Ravina. Ve'i lad pitume mile mai. Even if we don't say that this was just pitume mile, what's the difference? Bedida kaime lemishte tanai begita? Is it upon the woman to stipulate the tanaim in a get? Mapidom, right? The get is always given by the man to the woman. He's the one. Bidide kaima lemishte tana'a, right? It's up to him to set up the tanaim. So what's the difference, right? Here we say it's based on what she says. She says, oh, no worries. I won't take this if, you know, it's not what you intended. So it really shouldn't matter what she says. It's up to him what he intends. So now they say, Ma'u detema hu gufe adata didaka gamar v'yad gita ka mashmalan. You might have thought that he is only giving it, in other words, if she says that, he's giving it al dat what she wants. V'yad gita, and therefore, wait, in this case, what would we say? Up today. Right, you might have thought that if she says those words, if she says the, what happened? He gave the get without stipulating the tanai. That was his mistake, right? And in the end, that's what's going to end up the problem. He gives this get, he doesn't stipulate the tanai. If she says, look, I've accepted the get, you never stipulated the tanai, it's a good get. But now, what might you have thought? That if she said, as first we thought that what? If she says, no worries, I'm only going to take the get if you actually die, then you might have thought that that means something. And then they say, how could you have ever thought that that meant anything? She's not the one who's supposed to stipulate the tanaim. So what are they answering? No, what might you have thought? That since he gave the get, he forgot to stipulate the tanai, but then when she accepted it, she kind of set up this tanai. We might have thought that maybe that tanai works because he gives it, al dat, her own acceptance of conditions that she stipulated. And in the end, what do they say? No kamashmalan. Her stipulations are irrelevant. She was just saying it to make him feel better. But she didn't really ever intend to get the get, to cancel the get. You know, she was very happy to get the get and walk out of this marriage. It's an interesting case because it actually gives the woman power to accept this kind of a get. And his whole problem is that he never stipulated the tanai. And her statement can't be viewed as anything valid. Okay? You might have thought that maybe it affects his stipulation if kind of she accepts it with that, but it doesn't. Okay? Because, you know, it might have if her words meant something, but clearly we're saying her words don't mean anything. So again, this is a case where someone's word doesn't really have significance because they're just saying it to make someone feel better. Hilveu ala sadeh. Okay? Now we go back to the case where he lends him on the field, the case in the Mishnah, and he says, Im iata noten lemikam bat shalosh shanim, harehu sheli. And what do we say? Harehu shelo. So when we learned that case, we said we have to wait and see in the Gemara what the case is exactly. So Amar Rav Huna, bishat matam ma'ot kana hakol, lachar matam ma'ot lo kana ele keneged ma'otav. Let's say the loan was out for 100, and the field was worth 200. Okay, so the loan was for 100, the field is worth 200, and the guy says, listen, take my field. If I don't pay you in 3 years or up, You get to keep the whole field, okay? Even though it's worth double the price of the loan. So now, Rav Huna says this is only, okay, so this works. Now, why does it work? Because this is only if you stipulated this at the time you gave the money. This is similar to the get thing that we just said, right? But if it's lachar matam ma'ot, lo kana ele kenega ma'otav. If he gives it to him after, if he talks about this and says after the payment already, you know, he loans him the money, gives him the money, and then after he lends him the money, he says, by the guy who borrowed the money, says, listen, if I don't pay you back, take my land. That's not considered acceptable. Then, what does he do? He gets to keep the lamb, but only a hundred's worth of the lamb, right? He gets to keep half the field. So now, we're going to see that Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman amar, filu lachar matam ma'ot kana hakol. Okay, Rav Nachman says, hold up on this though, he's going to change his mind ultimately, but right now he holds, even after you get the ma'ot, kana hakol. By the way, this seems interesting that Rav Nachman is saying this, why? Rav Nachman, if you remember, worked for he was always the rabbi of the Reish Galuta. He clearly hung out in this certain crowd of the wealthy people who were the ones lending the money. So it makes sense that he's going to side with the Malve and the people, as he lives in that world of all these people who loan out money and don't necessarily get their money back, and he's siding on their side. And this is, again, like socialism versus capitalism, right? Which side of who are you supporting, the rich or the poor? So he clearly, that's where he lived. That's where, you know, he was always trying to protect the Reish Galuta. And you're going to see the story with the Reish Galuta. So it's not just Sam that I'm saying this. Avir Rav Nachman Uvda Gabe Reish Galuta. Okay, so now there was a case with the Reish Galuta, and Avir Rav Nachman Kishmate, exactly as he said, you can take the entire property. Kare Rav Yehuda Lishtare. Okay, clearly not everyone agreed with him. Rav Yehuda comes in, it's very vivid, right? He rips up the shtar, and he says, what are you talking about, right? This is no good. Amarle, so now what becomes interesting is there's two versions of what Rav Nachman's reaction was. Opposite versions. Amarle, Dardika Kare. So now, obviously, what happens... Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. Amarle, Reish Galuta. Reish Galuta comes to Rav Nachman complaining to him. Rav Yehuda Kare Lishtarcha. He ripped up your shtar that gave me responsibility, you know, for this whole property. Ownership of the whole property. So Amarle, Rav Nachman says, either he says, Dardikar kare? What, you think Rav Yehuda is some low-life guy, some little kid that ripped it up? Like, what are you complaining to me? Gavra Rabba kare, Chaze Beitam Abakare. Clearly, he's a big, important person. If he ripped the shtar, he must have had a good reason to rip up the shtar, and I'm sorry, I just can't help you. Ika to Amre, the other version of the story is, Amrele, Dardika kare. Wow, he's a child who ripped it up, Rav Yehuda. He's not an important rabbi. Dekule alma legabe didi bedina dardike ninu. Because anyone up against me, when it comes to, right, this is a very arrogant statement, anyone who comes up to me and judges against me in the court, he is considered a child. Okay, so the question is, right, which one to accept? What's interesting about this is, even if you accept the second reading, which is more difficult to accept in terms of the conclusion, because what happens? Hadar Amar Rav Nachman, afilu b'shat matam ma'ot, lo kana v'lo klum. So Rav Nachman ends up changing his position, which definitely seems to side with that his reading, the first reading of the Rav Nachman story was right, that he ends up realizing that Rav Yehuda must have had a good reason, and he changes his mind, and he says, I'm going to do like Rav Yehuda. Could be the opposite, which is he had this arrogant reaction, and then sometimes after you have these arrogant reactions, you realize, wait a minute, right, you calm down and you realize, maybe I wasn't so right, and eventually he changes his ways and corrects it. But anyway, it's an interesting story, and it fits in with the stories we've seen with Rav Nachman in general. We just learned this Sugya and Sukkah about this old woman who starts complaining that the Reish Galuta stole her schach, or stole her beams, or her trees, her wood, and is using it for schach, and all the Reish Galuta and the rabbis are sitting in a sukkah gzula, and Rav Nachman says, and she's screaming, and Rav Nachman says, sorry, lady, but, you know, the most you're going to get is the money back, and they can sit in your sukkah gzula, there's no problem, because of takanat hashavim, they just have to return the wood, and that's all you get. So, and clearly, he was again siding with the wealthy against the poor, so... It fits almost that he would say something strong like that against Rav Yehuda, but in the end here, he does change his mind. Eitibei Rava le Rav Nachman. So now Rava questions Rav Nachman and says, wait a minute. Im iata noten li mikam va'ad shalosh shanim, harehu sheli. Right? If, remember, what does our Mishnah say? If I don't give you until, right, from here until 3 years, it will be yours. Harehu shelo, right? Sorry, it will be mine. If you don't, sorry, it's the Malva saying, if you don't pay me back, it will be mine and it becomes his. Amarle, so how do you deal with that? In other words, if you're going to say, afilu b'shat matam ma'ot lo kanav l'kum, remember, he goes, I didn't specify this. He's saying, even b'shat matam ma'ot, before we were talking about after matam ma'ot, it wouldn't work. But now he's saying, afilu b'shat matam ma'ot, he doesn't get anything. Okay, because why? Because the field's worth 200 and the loan's for 100. It doesn't make any sense he should get it. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, but that's what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said exactly that. So what does Rav Nachman say? Amar le, ani omer, asmachta kanya. Uminyume amar, asmachta lo kanya. Okay, so now we're going to say, there's a big machloket about this. This is a classic case of asmachta. I say, asmachta is kone, and therefore, asmachta is kone, and that's, and I go, 1 second, but lo kanav lo klum, how could that make sense? 1 second. I misread this. Ani omir means I used to say. I used to think that asmachta was kone, but Minyume says asmachta is lo kone. Okay? Now, let me just tell you, I want to just give you the classic case of asmachta. Okay, the classic case of asmachta is this case where, I just have to remember for a second, it's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argue in a Mishnah Bava Batra. Okay, it's someone who pays back part of their loan. Now, what happens if you pay back part of your loan? We always have this issue with the shtar. What happens to the shtar? Usually, if you pay back your loan, so the shtar goes to the hands of the person who paid back his loan so that he makes sure the malva never takes it, you know, re-asks for it again. But if you pay half your shtar, then what do you do? Because the malva should still keep the shtar because he's still owed money. On the other hand, the love paid half of it. So the malva could, in theory, claim back the entire thing if he keeps the shtar. So what do? You give it to a shalish, a third party. He keeps the shtar. He remembers. He's supposed to remember the details that the love paid half and still owes. And while it's in the hands of the shalish, the love says, listen, if I don't pay you the money within a certain time frame, the shalish can give you back the full shtar and you can demand the whole shtar. So that's a smachta, basically. Because he doesn't really think that he's ever going to come to that. He certainly wouldn't ever agree to pay back double what he owed. So that's a smachta. And there's a machloka Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi there about whether it's kone or not. Okay? Whether it works or it doesn't work.
Okay, but I have a technical question. It says ani omer. Now, if we were learning this without our...
how would you know that?
How would we be able to figure that out?
Right. Rashi? So you look in Rashi. Rashi says, Hayiti ragil lomar kana.
Yeah, except that you wouldn't think to look in Rashi, because it's like 20 things words in the Gemara.
Right, well, that's why I got confused again. Right. So it's a good... right. Yes, it's true. But you know why? I realized there was a problem, because what happened? I forgot, as I didn't remember that was what Rashi had said. I started reading it as if it was the pshat, and it didn't make any sense. And then you get stuck. And then if something doesn't make sense, then you go back and you say, so there must be something I'm missing. So that would be your answer. Okay. So now what happens? So in other words, I used to think that. Now I hold like Minyumi Asmachta Lokanya. Now, it didn't answer our question, though. Because the question was, the Mishnah says that it works. So he says, well, I hold like Minyume, that Asmachta Lokanya. So then they said, well, Minyume kosh, you might need to fight. So you might hold like Minyume, but according to him, the Mishnah is still difficult. So what are the answer? Ibait Ema Machinchim Rabbi Yossi, Damar Asmachta Kanya. You could say that our Mishnah holds, like Rabbi Yossi and Amachlokin and Baba Batra, where he says that Asmachta is Kone, and our Mishnah holds like that, but I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, which is always a good answer, right? The downside of that answer is if we don't really hold like Rabbi Yossi, then why are we quoting Mishnah? Like, why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put in the Mishnah that goes against his opinion? But okay. Ibai Dema. Alternatively, it could be a case, Da'amarle Kne Me'achshav. Now we're going to say that even though you say Asmachta Lokanya, if the person says the words Kne Me'achshav, in other words, In the event that I don't pay up in 3 years, right, I'm gonna seize this whole property, and the Lova says to him, Kene me achshav, it can be yours from right now. Well, in that case, you wouldn't say that if you didn't really mean it. It says, what's the idea here? The lover really wants the loan, so he's willing to commit all sorts of things that he's not really willing to commit. He's just saying them to convince the malveh to give it to him. That's what asmachta is. It's you're trying to give the guy confidence. For sure I'll pay you back, because if not, I'll give you double, I'll give you triple, I'll give you quadruple. He's just saying that because he's trying to say, trust me, I'm going to give you my money back. Okay? But right. But in the end, he doesn't have to commit to it because it's not really that he means anything. But if he says the words, k'nei me'achshav, it would work. So Amrali mar yunuku markashisha b'nei d'rav chistel rav ashi. Hachi amra nahardea mishmei d'rav nachman. This is what they said in nahardea in the name of Rav Nachman. Hai asmachta, this asmachta that we've talked about, bizmane kanya, belozmane lo kanya. If it's in its time, it's kone. If it's not in its time, it's lo kone. So now, the Gemara first, Rav Ashi first thinks that they meant something else. So Amarle, kol mide bizmane kane, belozmane lo kane. That's anything will only be, and it sounds like he's saying, when the time is up, the 3 years, it's kone. Well, that means basically asmachta is kone, right? In other words, he's saying anything is only going to be kone in its time and not in its time. This has nothing to do with asmachta. What are you talking about? So dilma hachi kamaritu. Eshkeche bigoz zimne va'amrali kne kane. If he finds the guy, let's say the love appears to the malve at some point within the time frame of those 3 years, let's give the 3 year case. Within that time he finds him, va'amrali kne, and he says, go and acquire my land, because I guess the guy realizes I'm never going to get the money, you can take my land. Then he's kone. Va'batar zimne va'amrali kne. But if he doesn't pay back after the 3 years, and then the lova says to the guy, listen, you can have my property, lo kane. Then it's not a kinyan. Why? My taima machma kisufahu de ka'amarle. Okay, what is Rav Ashi saying? This must be what he meant, which is that if the lova at some point, when it's not the time to pay back the loan, just happens to randomly say, okay, you know what, you can have my land, then obviously he's just saying it randomly and he really means it. Now, he's saying it not connected, let's say the reverse, and then you'll see. But if he says it when the time of the loan is up, and he's supposed to pay his money back, and he doesn't have the money, and he says to the guy, listen, keep my property, he's only saying that because he's embarrassed that he didn't actually bring the money. And he doesn't know what to say to the guy, so he says it. But it's not that he really means, go and acquire my double the amount land. It certainly shouldn't be that that's what he means. But now they reject this understanding. It's had this start. Mariyunuk and Markashisha said that in Nahardah, they say in the name of Rav Nachman, this statement. First, we didn't understand the statement at all. Then we said, this must be what the statement means. But now they say, no, velohi. That's not true, though. Da'afilu bego zimne nami lo kane. Even if he, you know, the borrower finds the malveh or appears, you know, they happen to see him in the shuk one day on a random day before, let's say, after a year and a half. And he says, kone, even then it's not kone. So, why? Because again, you could say that why, and as again, this is all trying to figure out what's going on in his mind, and did he really mean what he said? So, v'hai dekamar lekane, so why did he say kone if he didn't really mean it? Kasavar kimate zimni lo leite litardan. He's scared that he knows that in another year and a half he's not going to have that money, and he doesn't want the guy coming knocking at his door. So he's just trying to push off the guy for right now and say, listen, don't come bother me for the money. You can keep my land. But he doesn't really mean you could keep all my land. Obviously, he never meant that. So Amar Rav Papa, Hai Asmachta. Now Rav Papa's going to give a different understanding. So that was, so now, right, we don't know what Rav Nachman said, because he said this thing about bizmana, lo bizmane, but we don't really know what it means, because we've just established that even if the borrower comes within the time frame before the loan is up, we still think that he could just be saying it's done. So Amar Papa, hayas machta zimnin kanya bizimnin lo kanya. It's not about the timing. It's sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. And it doesn't mean with the time is not the time of the loan. The time is, you know, sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. Okay, now, what's going to be the sometimes that it works, and what's going to be the sometimes it doesn't work? This is an interesting one. Eshkeche de kashate shichra. Kane, de kamahapech, kane, period. If the, now we're not, this isn't, doesn't have to do with the zman of the loan, but let's say the time of the loan is up. Let's say it's the day that you're supposed to pay back the money. Now, what do you expect the guy to be doing on that day if he hasn't paid you? He's going to be scrounging around for money. If you see him sitting drinking some beer, then clearly, okay, clearly he doesn't care about paying you back. In other words, if he doesn't care about paying you back, what does that mean? He knows that you have his land and you'll just take his land instead. And he's okay with that, because if he wasn't okay with that, he'd be scrounging around for money. But if you find him, scrounging around for money, then lo kani. Then it's clear that he's still trying to pay you back, and he doesn't really want you to keep his land. Now, obviously, I don't know if you thought of this, but when I read the Shate Shifra, I actually thought of what the Gemara is going to say in a minute. Amalei Ravacha midivti l'Ravina. Maybe he's drinking because he's scared out of his mind and he realizes he's got no chance of getting the money. Inami, alternatively, ini shachrina asmachay azuze. Maybe he knows someone owes him money and he's expecting the guy to pay him on that day. And he doesn't need to go scrounge around for money because he's expecting to get a payment later that day from some guy and he's going to use that to pay the money. I was thinking, somehow it appeared in my head, the Star Wars image, the Star Wars in the movie, and I think it's the first one, where they're trying to find, he committed to Jabba the Hutt all this money, and then he's trying to scrounge up the money, you know, and if you don't get to me that day, like, it's that fear. So anyway, I don't remember the exact scene, but somehow it, like, got into my head, some scene. Okay, Ella Amaravina. So therefore, that can't be either, okay? Can't be that one. Now, obviously, you could have given another example, which didn't have to do with Shate Shikra, like he was sitting drinking coffee maybe. I don't know. Okay, Ella Amar Ravi. I was thinking of all those people like who just sit around in coffee shops all day, right? They like pretty chill and, you know, right? No worries in the world. Ella, as opposed to those who go to bars, which maybe have more worries. Ella Amar Ravina. I don't think they had coffee in those days anyway, so. Ella Amar Ravina. I kapi bidami badai kane. So now, right, this one means, if he's makpid and he won't sell his property for any less than it's worth, right, is that what it means? One second.
This is the borrower.
Right, if the borrower, right, obviously the borrower because it's his land. If he looks like he's desperate for money. So if he won't sell his, what happens when you're desperate for money? You start selling all your property for very little money. So if he's not doing that, but he'll only sell his property, like let's say his house is on the market, but he's not willing to come down in price, well then it's koneh, because clearly, again, he's not worried about money, and therefore he's willing to just, it's the day of the loan, he's supposed to give it back, he hasn't paid it back, he's obviously okay with the fact that you're going to keep his property. Amarle Ravacha midifti l'Ravina. No, that's not a good reason. Okay, you keep seeing here, this is all about what goes through people's minds. Dilma savar ki hechi delo titzal are. He's worried that if he starts selling items of his for cheap, then his whole property value is going to go down because no one's going to. Let's say he's selling his car and his washing machine and his appliances. His whole property value is going to devalue. If he sells those things for so cheap, he's never going to be able to sell his land for a good price because everyone's going to know this guy's desperate for money. We can give him anything and he'll take it. So therefore, that's the reason he's not selling all his things for low prices. So not because he doesn't want to, you know, not because he's not planning to pay you back. Ella Amara Papa, so we're still trying to figure this out. I kapi ba'ara ba'dai kane. But if he's makpid on land, that he won't drop his land price, then vadai kana. Okay, because then we can assume that, one second. Right, so if it's items, then we're worried that we can assume that he's just doing that so his price doesn't drop, his land price doesn't drop. But if he's makpid on his land, that he won't sell it for any less, right, then even though, if he won't sell his land for a low price, then we're going to assume that he's not, you know, and he'll only sell it for a high price, then he's clearly not desperate. And then he obviously means that you can keep his land because he's not planning to get money to pay it back. V'amar Rav Papa, afagav de'amar Rabbana nasmachta lo kanya. Now we're going to get back to this asmachta in terms of different things about it. Even though we say asmachta is lo kanya, apotihi havya lemig be'mineh. So let's say, what does that mean? I gave you 100 shekel loan. You gave me a field that was worth 200. Now, even though I can't acquire that field of 200 because that's a smachta, it can still be an apotiki to take it from there, meaning that I can take half the field. Okay? I have to give you back the other half, but I can take half that field. So Amar Le Rapuna, Bereder Rav Natan, Le Rav Papa. Mika Amar Le Kani Le Guvaina. But he didn't say to him, you can use this to collect. Amar Le Marsutra, Bereder Rav Mary, Le Ravina. Vi Amar Le Kani Le Migbe Mine. Vi Amar Le Kani Le Migbe Mine. Kane. Sof Sof Asmachti, Vasmachta Lo Kanya. Ella. Right, so now we're going to say, if he says, even if he said, I'm going to let you collect from here, again, we can just say, that's just a smachta, right? Because he doesn't really mean it. And a smachta is lo kanya. Ela apotki de kamara papa maihi, da amarle lo yehe lecha piraon ela mizo. In other words, just because the guy gave you land as collateral doesn't mean that he's expecting you're going to collect from that land, even just the value of his thing. That's not enough. But if you say, lo yehe lecha piraon ela mizo, you can only collect from this property, this is where you're going to collect from, then you're allowed to collect the, you know, again, only 100 shekels worth, but not the full amount. Okay, again, we're going to have a case where a guy sells someone his property, but this time he sells it with achrayut. Last time we saw the case was without achrayut. Amarle, itarfu le minai, if they collect it from me, magbile, oh, sorry, the guy, right, the buyer, purchaser, says, itarfu lach minai, if they collect it from me, magbilat mi'idi idit, di'id lecha, can I collect it from the best of the best property that you have? Amar lei, mi'idi idit lo magbina lach, di'bina lamekam kamai. No, I'm not letting you take from that, because I want that land for myself. Ela magbina lach mi'idit acherim di'idli. But I will let you take from this other land. Okay, let's say this is his best land over here, and this is his second to best land. So he says to him, the purchaser wants to know that he can take it from the best to the best. But the seller says, no, you can't take it from the best to the best, but you can take it from the best. Okay, the second best. So now what happens? Lesof tarfu minai. In the end, they did take the property away. Ata bidaka shakil li'idi idit. Now also what happened? The idi idit got destroyed. Okay, in the interim. So now, what's the issue? Can he take from his second best, or does the second best become mi'idid? So, sever Papa lemeimar mi'idid. So, Rav Papa said he could take from the idid because the guy committed to him mi'idid amarle, v'ha kaima, and it's still there. So, amarle Ravacha mi'idifti leRavina v'leimale. But wait, the guy could say to him ki amrilach ana magbina lach dahavi idid kaima. When I said that you could take it from there, it was when I had a better land. Right now, my edid is going to be in place of the edid, and therefore, you can't collect from there. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll get to another story tomorrow.